This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Hello there. Welcome, everybody, to episode 208 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, hello. What's happening, my good friend?
Well, we've got quarter four coming up starting tomorrow, so it's a good time for all of you WordPress developers and people out there running your business on WordPress to really put your best foot forward, up your ante a little bit, and make the fourth quarter the best quarter of the year. That's what's on tap in my wheelhouse.
Did you happen to get a glimpse of the super blood moon? Did anything strange happen in your area?
Nothing at all strange happened. Yes, I did catch a glimpse of it. It was partially hidden from the mountain for a little bit, and then it popped its head out about halfway and in full immersion in terms of the moon. But for all of you astronomy geeks out there, there's a site called SLOOH, S-L-O-O-H. And it's one of the coolest online experiences regarding astronomy. Anything that ever happens astronomy-wise, you should actually be on SLOOH looking at the live stream of these astronomer guys. They have a dedicated telescope in Easter Island that always gets these really unbelievable shots of different astrological events and things. And I did learn why it's a blood moon, and that's because the sun is actually shining behind the Earth through the atmosphere, and you're seeing a compilation of every sunrise and sunset at the Earth all at the same time projected onto the moon as if it were a movie screen.
Exactly. And there's actually some really cool animated GIFs out there that show you the whole phase of beginning to end of the total super blood moon lunar eclipse. It's pretty cool.
Yep, and that process I also learned, which is kind of I'm going to start using this around, I might even make a plug-in and call it this, but that phase of where it's starting to color is called the hemigenesis.
What's that, child theme for Genesis?
I mean, hemigenesis, yes.
Well, anyways, super blood moon, totally cool. We couldn't see it here in Ohio because of the clouds. It's very cloudy at night, but I did go online. I watched a couple of different live streams. Very cool stuff. And that SLOOH is great. I've watched, it's kind of funny watching a meteor shower. It's hard to watch a meteor shower on there unless you catch a glimpse of something going by really fast because it's a dark monitor, it's a dark screen. Yeah. I don't know. It's just not the same experience as sitting in the backyard looking up at the sky.
No, it's definitely not. But if you have no other choice and you're faced with cloud cover, then that's probably the next best thing.
Okay, so we'll dive out of the astrology and astronomy here for a little bit. Well, for the second time this year, we have some sad news to discuss, and that is the passing of Alex King. And Alex King was the founder of CrowdFavorite, WordPress, or more like a web development agency. And he actually passed away a few days ago at his home. In January 2013, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And since that time, he's been going through chemo and therapy and different clinical trials, trying to find a treatment that possibly could help prolong his life. And he managed to fight the cancer and stick around until just a few days ago here in 2015. And very, very sad news. A big loss to the WordPress community. He was around during the days of the transition from B2, which is what WordPress is initially based off of, to WordPress. He was one of the very early WordPress developers, and he's credited with a lot of things committed to WordPress over the years. And one of my favorite things that he did way back when in the day is when WordPress 1.5 came out, it had a templating engine, and there weren't too many themes out there for WordPress. What he did is he held a contest similar to CSS Zen, if any of our listeners are familiar with that website where you have a particular website design, but you try and redesign it using CSS only. At the time, he created this sort of style switcher hack, which came with CSS style sheets, and he ran a competition. So in the first year, he ended up with 38 submissions. And of course, all these different, he had different prize levels for who won. In the second year, he had over 100 submissions. And you know, at the end of the day, his website, the CSS contest, was sort of like the precursor to the WordPress theme directory. So, you know, at a time where there wasn't too much available in terms of designs and different looks for WordPress, you could go to Alex King's site. He had them all hosted on his server, and you could choose between over 100 different themes. I think it was 138 in total. Now, he didn't host a competition again in 2006 due to, you know, there was a lot of work required. He actually went through and made sure that all the themes were correct. There was no malicious code, and he hosted them on his server. So that's one of the really cool aspects of just a sample of his contributions to the WordPress community, especially back in the day. I do have Alex King story myself in terms of when I met him in person, but Marcus, you did you know Alex King personally? Have you met him in person? Do you have a story to share?
Yes to all of that. In fact, I've always been interested in plugins, you know, from the early inception of WordPress. I thought that's what it really, to me, it enabled a lot of different functionalities that I was really looking for. It was like a big jigsaw puzzle, and I was just trying to find the right pieces to put together to make the site that was right for me. And I have spoken to, I'm guessing, 1,000 plugins developers in the last 10 years that I've been using WordPress, 11. And Alex was the very first one. And believe it or not, in that time, he's the one I spoke to most frequently about plugin updates and different plugins that he's been working on. And I just looked today in the repository because I knew he had done a lot, but you know, I don't really keep track of everything that he had going on. Alex had 38 different plugins that he developed that are listed in the WordPress repository. And he's also listed as a core contributor, a WordCamp speaker, and both a plugin and theme developer. And in terms of plugins, the one that was most popular for me initially was Twitter Tools, which then evolved into a plugin called Social.
Yep.
And he did the Discuss Comment System plugin. He created the first WordPress mobile edition plugin that allowed us all to kind of be the first to market when it came to developing a mobile site in WordPress. It was a plugin that enabled you to kind of create this back-end menu system that worked with your content. And it wasn't, you know, this was pre kind of responsive design days, but it was really helpful in terms of making a mobile edition. And I know that there were more than probably 20 different clients that I put into that mobile platform in terms of the plugin and the presence within mobile. So I knew very well about Alex's illness, and it was, you know, I've gone through cancer with different relatives and different people and such. So I know that he took it in stride and even contributed to WordPress and answered, you know, commit tickets and things like that, even within just the last couple months. So, you know, to the end, Alex was a contributor to the WordPress community, and I know that he's going to be sorely missed.
Yeah, I forgot about this, but when I was reading Brian Krogsgaard's post over on poststatus.com about Alex King, it reminded me that Alex is actually the creator of the share icon. So the little three dots that you see, it's ubiquitous. And he was actually one of the founding members of Share This. Yeah, really cool, right. Share This company. So I really like this tweet or thought that somebody had put out there where every time you see that share button or every time you use it, you should think of Alex because he's the one that created it. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a nice legacy to have. And I think he was just kind of one of those unsung heroes, and I don't think that he ever had an ego about any of the stuff that he created. He always straight into the community and came with a sense of gratitude to people, you know, for even being interested in the things that he developed, and also a sense of just, you know, of being as far as a part of the community.
I mean, at the end of the day, Alex King was a problem solver, whether it was WordPress, whether it was to help him manage his photos because he was into photography, or if it was for different projects, other open source projects. If there was a particular problem he was having, he would come up with a solution and release it to open source. Very cool, very cool stuff. And one of the last time I saw and spoke to Alex was at WordCamp San Francisco 2013. He was on a panel discussion discussing freelance work to WordPress agency, and it was a panel moderated by Matt Mulloway, actually. Mm-hmm. So you had Jake Goldman, Brad Williams, and the gentleman from Modern Tribe on the panel. And at the end of the event, we were invited to WP Engine sponsored dinner, and I was in this party limo, which Alex King also happened to be in. He was getting a ride there to the same function. And inside this limo was this music. There was a couple poles. I don't know what the poles are in there for. I mean, I guess you can imagine. Blinky lights, cool music. And while we were in there, I was sitting directly across from Alex, and I asked him a few questions related to his health, because, you know, I knew what was going on because of his posts earlier in the year, which, by the way, I should mention, I'll bring it up a little bit, but Alex was a soft-spoken man, so sometimes it was hard to hear him, but ended up getting him to come out of his shell a little bit, because sometimes he appeared shy, but I was able to have a great memorable conversation with him after I started asking him questions about the very early days of WordPress, because he's one of the few people who got to see the transition and be a part of that sort of memorable era at the very beginning, the birthplace essentially of WordPress. And I mentioned his blog and his website, and when he came out and announced on his site that he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, he actually created an entire section of his website just called Cancer, I believe. And yes. alexking.org/blog/thread/cancer, he created the whole section, and he told his story about his fight to stay alive. So it involved his treatments, how he was feeling, the different thoughts and things that he was going through. And as I was writing this sort of WordPress obituary, the second one of the year for me, I ended up reading some of his posts, especially later on in his battle with cancer. And it's very difficult to read because the words he's speaking and writing in terms of, he knows what his final outcome is. This is a man who knows that his time is coming to an end. He may not know exactly when, but he knows that that's the inevitable within a certain time frame. So it changes the entire dynamic of, instead of just reading a typical normal post about what somebody's going through, this is, I don't want to say it's his last dying words, but it's coming from a man who knows that he's going to die sooner rather than later. And it's hard to read that. And the other part is a little bit intriguing because, for a lot of people, either they don't want to share their story, or maybe they're just gone like that, and they don't have an opportunity to say the things they want to say or tell their story before it's their time to go. So if anybody out there wants to sort of read this man's battle and this fight and see the love he has for his daughter, along with his wife, which was everything to him, and he tried to stick around as long as he could for his daughter, definitely, we'll link it up in the show notes where you can read it. But man, the man put up a valiant effort, a hell of a fight. It just It's that damn cancer, Marcus. Everybody knows somebody that's either that either has it, that it's in remission, or that has died from it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm starting. It's funny because I'm getting a little introspective today, and I thought about that too because I was going through those cancer thread things myself. Because I honestly didn't know that it was this deep. Now, you know what I mean? Or lately, I wasn't aware of that. And I look at myself and I'm like, why don't I blog this much? You know, I mean, I don't have anything wrong with me. Knock on, if somebody like Alex can go through that and still maintain a regular schedule as far as enlightenment and awareness, then I should be able to as well. And this is also, you know, I don't want to be all PSA about this, but this is an opportunity for, you know, men out there to go get screened for this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's something I was looking into, where in most cases, if it's detected soon enough, colon cancer is treatable.
Yes. And in his case, you know, maybe that didn't occur. I don't know the circumstances around it as far as detection in his case particularly, but it's got me thinking too, you know. So I want everybody to remember him with love and with compassion, and you know, especially with his family and things. But I know that there's also a call out to, you know, remembrance. And that will go to his wife. There's a link that I will add to the show notes as well, that Alex's last tweet and last post was, I want you to do me a favor. And if I have touched you in any way, I want you to put it down and, you know, give it to my wife so that she can one day share that with my daughter and see what kind of impact I've had while I was living. And that's awesome. And I hope that all of you out there that have similar stories or circumstances or knew Alex or just even just use one of his plugins, I think that's pretty important to just spend 5 or 10 minutes and express that and send it off and, you know, let his family benefit from that in a time that must be unbearable.
And I think I speak for Marcus here, speak for both of us when we say that our deepest condolences are with his friends, his immediate family, and Alex King is survived by his wife, Heather, and his daughter, Caitlin. And one last thing here before we move on to some of the other pressing topics of the week. And that is, on this particular post that I wrote on WP Tavern, I used a particular image, and it's an image from Alex King's website. And out of all the images, photographs of Alex King, this one kind of pulled my heartstrings. I sort of picked up a meaning in it. And it's for our listeners out there, it looks like Alex King is sitting in the grass and his daughter is right next to him. And he's staring down at her and he has the biggest smile on his face as if he's the happiest man on earth. And they're sitting in grass. It looks like it could be his backyard. And his daughter is smelling what looks to be a dandelion. And he's holding her hand, holding it up to her nose, and she's smelling the dandelion. And I just think from that image, what I take away from that photograph is that Alex King's love of life, the innocence with his child, and how he just loved her. His daughter was everything to her. And I think all those things you could see just from that one photograph. It's my favorite one of Alex King. So with that said, oh, go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, I just, you know, again, I just want to thank Alex for all his contributions, and they will live on in the repository. And I hope that everybody out there that has been touched by him in one way or the other takes just a few minutes to express that and send it off to the link that we're going to put in the show notes.
And by the way, everybody should go to ma.tt because Matt Mulloway, the co-creator of WordPress, wrote a fantastic article about Alex King and his contributions to WordPress. So I definitely check that out when you have a chance.
Yeah, and just to summarize, of the passings of those who have been involved in WordPress, this is probably one of the biggest as far as, you know, the impact of
so far.
of a I understand that, but
I mean, there's no denying he's one of the pillars. He's part of the foundation of WordPress.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore of WordPress, he's one of them. Him and Matt are probably sitting right next to each other, you know, within a couple spaces.
Oh boy. So rest in peace, Alex. We'll remember you and Godspeed to you, and we'll meet up again at some point in the future. I know we will.
Yeah.
So with that said, I want to let everyone know that WP Supercache 1.4.5 was released earlier this week. In fact, it fixes a cross-site scripting vulnerability in the settings page. So if you are using WP Supercache, make sure you are running the latest version, which is, it should be 1.4.5, but who knows, it could be 1.4.6. The important thing is that you update and patch the security vulnerability. Now, this WP Supercache is installed and activated on over 1 million plus websites. I probably think it's more than that. So this is a big deal. Anytime a security patch is released for WP Supercache, it's definitely something where we have to spread the word and people should take notice of.
Absolutely. And you got to understand too that most of the problems that you may get within a site that is slowing down or sometimes doesn't come up with code changes or things like that, you got to check your cache programs, your cache plugins, and make sure that whatever you have is up to date. And this is one of those instances where you really, really need to take care of this, because a caching system is ripe with different opportunities in terms of, you know, hackers and malicious code and things like that. So make sure you do that update.
And I believe we spoke about this event on a previous episode, but just for anyone out there who may have forgotten, there was going to be a higher ed WordPress conference, and at the time it was called Word Campus. And it's, if you take a look at, it's called Word Campus, yet it was very similar in terms of the event named WordCamp US. Go figure. Yeah. So we knew there was going to be some difficulty there if they stuck to that name. Well, they've decided to change their name, and now it's called WP Campus. So it's the same type of event. Everything else is the same. It's going to be for higher ed using WordPress in higher education. It's just going to be called WP Campus instead of Word Campus. So that helps alleviate the confusion and still tells people it's going to be about WordPress in the higher education realm out there in an organization.
Yeah. So, we had one instance of violation or trademark infringement last week, and it appears now we do as well. So,
well, it's not going to be violating the trademark now because it's WP Campus. So,
no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that. If anybody took that, but yeah, I kind of thought that would go this way in terms of WP. But so what? It's still going to be a cool event.
Yeah, I mean, Word Campus was a pretty cool name, but WordCamp US comes first.
Yeah, you're about a year and a half too late on that one.
So, congratulations. I hope that event goes off without a hitch. There's no dates or plans or anything else like that yet for the event. However, apparently there's been more than 250 people who have expressed interest in the event by signing up to their survey form. So there's definitely interest out there, and I bet you at some point in 2016 we will be announcing dates and venues when the news comes out of WP Campus.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I can't go to WP Campus. Will still get me the US that I'm looking for.
So I learned a few things turning comment moderation on WP Tavern. And for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, I've been moderating every single comment that comes to the site. And let me tell you, what a pain in the ass. But I actually found out a couple of WordPress's drawbacks, especially when it comes to moderating comments. And the first one is, when you're moderating comments in the back end, especially those that are replies to other comments, you can't see the full context of the conversation. So what I mean by that is, you can't see what it is they're replying to from the back end of WordPress. So this makes it difficult to determine, is it just a spammer who copied and pasted a reply and things of that nature. So I'm hoping that at some point there will be a addition to WordPress core where I'll be able to maybe see text that they're actually replying to, maybe even a quote or the full comment, and I can slide it up and down.
Well, how about if you did front end comment moderation where you're actually logged in and then you're going to that page, just scrolling through the comments?
Well, that could work if you don't have a posting frequency as high as WP Tavern. As far as I'm concerned, I'm moderating comments mostly from either the WordPress mobile app, which suffers from the same issue of not being able to determine context with comment replies, and from the WordPress backend. Now, I am using a plugin where it allows me to do moderation from the front end, but I'm not going to visit every post that I've written within the past week just to see if there's new comments on there, because that doesn't make any sense.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
However, if you do have a hot thread and a lot of people are responding to it, yeah, I could see where front-end moderation could come in handy.
Yeah, well, it's an idea, and maybe there's some sort of a semblance of that you could look at the comments to be moderated and make them appear that they're front-end but on the back. So it could show maybe the preceding comment that the person is replying to in reference to that, so that you could kind of look forward and backward in terms of that particular comment.
And one of the other things I discovered is that WordPress does not have a notification email to notify a commenter when their comment is approved out of moderation. So this means if I have comment moderation turned on, somebody leaves a comment, they have to either refresh the page, hoping that I approve their comment within however long they're going to stay on the web page, or they come back a day or two later if they remember to see if their comment's been approved. I've already created a track ticket for this in WordPress, and I've expressed why I think this is important. And apparently, several other people, even core committers to WordPress, think this is a great idea. And it does have some legs, and there's been some development on it, and it's possible this addition will be added to WordPress 4.4. No guarantees, but it's quite possible that in 4.4, people will be notified when their comment is approved out of moderation. I think that's just common courtesy to do. I think it just makes sense.
Wow, they're going to call that comment moderation 1.1 Chandler.
Jeez, I hope not. Oh, man. But it'll be a lot better. That way, if you're moderating comments, they don't have to stick around. They don't have to keep refreshing your page. They'll be notified, as long as the email doesn't go to spam, when their comment is approved. And then they'll be able to come back and join in on the conversation again if they so choose to. So I really hope that gets in the 4.4.
And are you using Postmatic, the subjects of our show last week?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And how are you? I have not yet taken advantage of their offer to let me try it, because I'm deep in a bunch of different projects right now. But probably within the next 3 weeks or so, I'll start playing around with it. So I actually went back and listened to that show again myself, which is kind of rare for me, because I forgot all of the things that it did, and I needed a refresher myself because they were rattling off so many other things that it did. And I thought it was funny when I went, what?
that has become a Marcus Couch moment on the WordPress Weekly. The what? Yeah.
If we're ever like that other podcast of two guys and we get our own app, that'll be one of the sound effects.
Oh, that's great. And one of the other things I determine is trying to figure out a whitelisting system in WordPress for anonymous comments. And the reason is, even though, one of the things I learned really quick is that with moderation turned on, not every comment needs my time to determine if, not every comment needs to be moderated. So what if I could have a whitelisting system where I could add somebody's IP address or somebody's name to like a list, and their comment automatically gets approved. Well, you can't do that with anonymous comments because the names can easily be forged, the IP addresses can easily change. It doesn't make any sense to have that type of whitelisting system on for anonymous comments. Now, I could see something like this working if you have registered users. I mean, that makes more sense. But in terms of anonymous comments, no, not really. I don't know if you can create a good whitelisting system for those because of all the different things I just said. You know, they're all easily changeable, or you can easily forge them, email addresses, names, all the different fields. So I don't know if there's anything that can be done to improve that area of the moderation system in WordPress, but that's something to sort of take note of. And of course, like I mentioned at the beginning of this whole summary here, moderating comments is a time suck. When I was on staycation, I would receive the notification on my phone that a new comment is waiting for my approval. And you know, typically I would say, no, I'll approve them at so-and-so time. But when the conversation stops on the site because I have to approve a comment that is legit and could be published and doesn't need to be moderated, I feel kind of down about that. I feel like that's not fair. I feel like that's not the way conversations should happen on the website. So with that said, I've actually turned comment moderation off. I've ended the experiment. And now I'm using a couple of different plugins to not only enhance the commenting experience in the tavern, but help me in the realm of moderation. And I'm not going to go over them here in this episode, but in next week's episode, I'm going to go down the list of plugins I'm using and explain why and what they do and give you a better sense for the comment system I'm running on WP Tavern to handle all these types of all the comments we get on a regular basis. Because I can't do this. I cannot moderate comments on top of everything else. I tried, and there's just no way.
Yeah, that doesn't seem very efficient whatsoever in terms of contributing to a discussion that is ongoing because you're waiting on the delays of that. You know, that's a problem that I have in one of my LinkedIn groups. I know we're outside WordPress now, but I have a flag that says if you've got less than 10 friends or if you don't have any connections on your LinkedIn profile, and if you're new, you don't get to post anything for 14 days. And I think I think that's the moderation cycle of it. But it sucks because half the activity that I see from new people is spam. And then the other half, it literally, if I don't go in and if I wait 3 weeks and I go in and finally approve those items, it publishes them with that current date that I published it right now rather than when they actually posted it. So the symmetry of that chronological order of posting is gone. So I can feel your pain, my man. It sounds like it's a nightmare in terms of community interaction.
It is indeed. However, as I said, I'm using some plugins that really sort of take out that pain and make it fun again. And also gets the community to help me out. And I'll talk more about that next week. But speaking of comments, I want to dive in and give our listeners some insight into some things I'm learning about WordPress 4.4, which is currently in development. And one of the things that came out recently is that 4.4 will possibly, and you know, things are in flux here, rearrange the fields to the comment form. So we're used to the comment form right now in WordPress where you have the name, the email, the website, URL, and then the comment area where you would fill out your comment. Well, the proposed rearrangement of these fields would be that the comment text area is first, then you fill out your name, email, and website. We've had a pretty cool discussion about this on the Tavern where it's sort of heads or tails of, well, people are already used to filling out this section of the website and maybe we shouldn't be changing it because it's not broken. However, putting the comments first means, well, after you read the article, boom, you're presented with the text area and you can write your comment while it's still fresh on your mind. then you can claim ownership of your words via those other fields. Now, one of the reasons why they've decided to make this change is that because it improves navigation with the keyboard when you use it to toggle through the fields, and it also makes it supposedly easier to use or for users to leave comments. Now, there's a couple of things that people are going to have to check, especially if you're a theme or plugin developer and you use certain filters and actions, because things are rearranged, things are reordered, and they fire differently. There's also an open ticket on TrackForce, so if you discover an incompatibility or want to provide feedback, you can on the ticket. But I don't know. I think you could go heads or tails on this, and I'm sort of leaning more towards putting the comment area first, because, you know, why get delayed anymore? You know, just go down there, put in your comment, and then you can fill in the name, email, and website. I mean, might as well just take care of it while it's on your mind.
Do you ever use SoundCloud and see how the comments work on a SoundCloud file?
I have seen where there's certain, like on the audio timeline, where comments show up.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if somebody could actually point to a specific portion of the article and comment there?
Oh, just like Medium.
Oh, is that what Medium does?
Yeah, Medium. So if you look at each paragraph, you can actually comment on. So each, you can see different, and over on the right-hand side of those paragraphs, you can see numbers or a plus sign that indicates either you can leave a comment or so many people have commented on that specific section of text. And then somehow, some way, that's all presented in chronological order down at the very bottom, like you typically see on a site.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And then, you know, I just thought of something as we were talking about moderation. I often also, in some of the Facebook groups that I'm a moderator and owner of, people will report posts to me that are not fitting for the group. And I wonder if we could get some sort of a lynch mob plugin where other people could sort of do the moderation in terms of, like, if 10 registered users report this or 3 or whatever, then it just kills it.
Well, Marcus, yes, you can. And if you don't stop talking about it, I'm going to have to give away the deets on tonight's show, and I want to wait until next week.
Oh.
But yes, I'm using a plugin that does exactly that.
Is it called Lynch Mob?
No, it's not.
Oh, well, that would have been a perfect name for it.
No, it's actually, I'm not going to say it.
No, don't give it away.
You have to wait to tune in next week.
Teaser.
Yes, just like they do in the professional biz. So that's coming down the pike, possibly in WordPress 4.4. Some of the other changes I've noticed is that the view post and get short link buttons that you see just below the post title and the post editor of WordPress are disappearing.
Good.
And this is due to the fact that the edit button, or I should say it has to do with removing redundancy and making the edit button specifically for editing the slug of the URL or your permalink instead of being able to click on it and edit it that way. There's actually two different ways to edit, but instead now the permalink is actually a link. So if you click it, it does the same thing as if you were to click the view post button. So the view post button is no longer needed. Pretty cool.
So now I have to hit it every time. If I want to change that slug, now I got to hit that edit button every time.
It's a specific action that you're doing now with the edit button. Yes. And then if you want to see if it works, you click on the permalink and it opens up in a new browser tab.
I don't think I like that.
So a lot of people are going to be frustrated at this if you change your slugs on a regular basis, because it's altering your workflow. So you're going to have to get used to this change. And as far as the get short link button is concerned, if you're using a custom short link, the button will show up, or you can re-enable it using code. So I believe there'll probably be a plugin that comes out where you can re-enable it in case you want to use it again. But with those two buttons gone, the area looks, you know, it looks simpler. There's less buttons, and the UI looks a little bit cleaner. But why don't you like that change? Why?
Why?
Just because you're used to clicking on the URL?
No, well, I click on the slug.
Right.
And oftentimes you got to understand, it's not just because I'm clicking on the slug just so I can change the slug name. It's because I want to copy the slug maybe into a spreadsheet or something like that, as far as a task list of something to do, or, you know, a specific milestone in terms of assigning content to other people to do. So for me, that becomes a pain, because now I'm going to have to, that's one extra click for me. I know it's not that big of a deal, but I would rather see it to where the slug remains the same. If you just click on the slug, so it just gives you the slug. However, if you want to get that whole link, maybe just click on the domain part of that, that you already can't click on right now. It's just, you know, fixed. Why not be able to just click there and get that whole link?
I will say that it is disappointing that even with the screen real estate people have today, especially on my desktop, that I'm still seeing truncated slugs to where the URL is not that long. But let's say, like, for instance, in the screenshot I have in the tavern, it says, this is a test post in WordPress 4.4 alpha. So in the permalink area, I see this is a test ... rest, you know, and then the rest of the slug. Really, I don't see why it doesn't. It should use up more real estate so it could show me the full slug. So in your case, I wouldn't have to click at it. I could just highlight it or right click on it because it's a link already now in 4.4, and I could copy that. Then there's no clicking involved for you.
Right. And that's exactly why I have to click in that area and get that slug, is because unless you've got a 10 character post with you know, nothing else, then you're fine. But if you've got anything other than that and you've got that truncated thing, you need to click in there in order to copy that entire thing. So that's going to be a problem for me.
Well, I will say that there are a few people who have commented on the article on WP Tavern on the fact that it should not be truncated. It should use up more real estate so that we could see, so you don't have to actually click the button to even see if the slug is correct.
They're not truncating they don't truncate the title. It's in H1 size right in front of your face.
Right. There has been a suggestion of, you know, usually the top level domain is the same all the time, so maybe that shouldn't even be hidden, so all you see is the slug. But I'm not sure how that's going to go down in terms of how this all comes about in 4.4. But that sounded like a possible idea.
Well, I counter that, because I'd actually would like to see the entire string across, because that's still going to give me what the category is and some of the other link details within that URL.
And if you want to copy it, you'll be able to copy the entire URL with top level domain required, instead of having to manually put that in case that way you're not getting just a slug.
Right, which I don't know why, you know, they've already got the functionality where I just click the slug and it lets me edit the slug. Why not give me the functionality if I click anything, you know, in the root direction on that link, anything but the slug, if I click there, why shouldn't it just highlight the entire link, the entire thing for me?
I don't know.
All I know is that's get short link right there. Done.
All I know is those are some of the changes that are planned for WordPress 4.4. I did participate in the core dev chat today, which is very lively, especially on the topic of responsive images in WordPress. But it looks like if everything goes well, 4.4 will have the taxonomy meta stuff, which developers are head over heels about, and I have no clue what it means, so I have to look into that. There's the first portion of the REST API. There is an API that's going to be added for responsive images. There is OEmbeds. You'll be able to OEmbed WordPress posts between WordPress sites. And let's see, the last but not least, 2016. So, you know, if all that stuff actually goes in and is committed to WordPress core, 4.4 could be one of the best releases in a long time for both users and developers. I'm pretty excited right now, because as far as I'm concerned, we haven't had a release of WordPress in a while to where you could really be excited about a lot of things, and 4.4 is shaping up to be that type of release.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it and not looking forward to it, according to some of the specs that you've laid out here on the show. But, well, I'll take the good with the bad. I do like some of those other things. And I have a couple of ideas that it's my own fault that they don't get implemented because I never put in anything in track. So it's my own fault.
Yeah, either track or I highly suggest, and I would like to see people do this more often. You have a website, you have a blog, you have an idea. And I've done this with the Tavern where, and granted the Tavern is a speakerphone and, you know, it gets large play in the community. So I sometimes take advantage of this for sharing my ideas. However, I would like to see more people use their website, personal site, blog. If they have an idea for WordPress, something they would like to see in core, write about it, explain why you think it's beneficial, why it's beneficial to you, why it's beneficial to other people, and somehow, some way, get it in front of me so I could pass it around so I can share it. And, you know, if enough people think you're on the right track or think it's a great idea, they'll probably encourage you to create that track ticket. And if you have some backing behind it, it would really help you get some legs on it. And once it's in track and sort of approved, or the developers kind of get on board with you on that idea, it doesn't take long for it to, you know, for some of that magic to happen, because WordPress is made of magic. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I agree. And if you end up doing that, and if we can kind of encourage some people to do it, then if you get that far with your idea, listener, if you get that far and you actually get it in track and it's a cool idea, then make sure you tell Jeff and I. And if it's cool, then we'll rally behind you and encourage people to adopt your idea.
Yeah, if I like your idea, I have no problem talking about it on WordPress Weekly. I mean, why not?
Yeah, we encourage it.
So that's sort of a roundabout what's going on in the realm of WordPress land this week. Marcus, any other stories you want to briefly mention, or should we go right to your picks of the week?
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity, Jeff, to wish you a happy International Podcast Day.
Oh, geez, I forgot all about that already.
So, happy Podcast Day, my friend.
Congratulations. Whoop-de-doo. International Podcast Day. Yeah, and guess what? Tomorrow is International. I have a itch on my back I can't reach day.
Well, that's not as much fun.
No, I guess not. Happy International Podcasting Day to you too, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot. When I started podcasting, they didn't even have a podcast day. So I feel like I've been vindicated somehow.
This day is secretly named after Marcus Couch.
No.
So what do you got here for our first plug and pick of the week?
Oh, man. I've got a lot, Jeff. The first one is called Contact Form 7 Customizer. This gives new life to one of the most popular free contact form plugins. With the CF7 customizer, you can alter items like spacing, button size, all of that right within the exclusive Contact Form 7 customizer. So, you know, menus are in the customizer now. Why not forms, right?
Just did you get a chance to play with that? I'm wondering,
yep.
Wondering how that works. Is it better than what you maybe had expectations for? I mean, do you like the customizer used in the contact form?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because the spacing issue especially is what I like. The fact that now you can control how much space goes in between your fields. Typical contact form 7 users find that if they're going to make a form, it really tightens it up. So I'm very happy to see that. It's in a lot of aspects, it's even more customizable than Gravity Forms is.
I'd imagine that one of the coolest things about using a customizer with a contact form is being able to see how your form looks before you publish it. That way, you can make sure your fields are in the correct order that you wanted to be in.
Yes, and it's completely visual like that. So you get a full real-time representation as far as what the form is doing.
That's cool. I might have to check that out.
Yes, you are. The next one is called View Admin As, and it's a plugin used to simulate what the site would look like as a specific user or a specific role within the site. It's really handy to use, and it helps to prevent from having to log in and log off as multiple users, just so you can see maybe what different membership levels do, what different menu restrictions there are. This is just one click, and you are literally viewing the site as a subscriber or a contributor. It helps to really see what you can lock down, and just to make sure that those things are locked tight in terms of what users see and they don't see. And finally, one called Grayscale Images. I thought this was great. It actually solved a really nice problem for me on a site, which is it converts all the images, third version. Really, if you've got kind of an artistic, creative site, this is absolutely one that you should check out, because it really accentuates the entire photography or image aspect of your site and makes it a lot more visually appealing once people start to hover over those images. So that's called Grayscale Images, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
The perfect plugin for those who believe in black and white and color when necessary.
That's right. Subtlety.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. We currently don't have a guest scheduled for next week, but I'm going to work on a few things, and that will probably change. So we'll probably have someone awesome on next week. But until then, you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0, and you, Marcus.
And also on Twitter at Marcus Couch.
Okie dokie. So that's going to wrap it up for the show. We're at hump day here, so everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening. Bye-bye.